Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, we've been talking about for some time on VFN Radio, the fear of the Lord, and it's one of the most important things that we need to have a revelation of, especially in the church today, is a healthy fear of the Lord. And I know, Pat, that you were reading at some time John Bevere's book, The Fear of the Lord, and, mm-hmm. and I'm reading a book, or have read a book, called Intimate Friendship with God, Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord by Joy Dawson. And she really shares some amazing insight into the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that you can pray for, and there's a lot of people naming and praying and claiming and a whole bunch of other stuff, you know, and okay, all right. But, you know, my idea here is this. If you're going to be praying for anything right now, and the scheme of big things is to really pray for a healthy fear of the Lord. We're not talking about being terrified of God. We're talking about having an honor and respect for God that causes us to do the right thing before God because we fear Him. We don't want to disrespect Him and dishonor Him.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes in chapter 5 of her book, the different levels in our attitudes towards sin. And I want to share a couple of them with you here today and kind of broaden your perspective on it, because people have different levels and thought patterns when it comes to sin. And she talks about, actually, there's four distinct levels of attitude towards sin. And you can take an assessment to see what may be your attitude towards sin. She says that the level one is the person who does not sin because the consequences are too great. So they say their mindset or their attitude level is, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do this thing because the consequences are way, way too powerful. They're not going to commit murder because of those consequences. They're not going to commit adultery. They're not going to lust. They're not going to steal. They're not going to, you know, lie, because the consequences, you know, of this sin are going to mm-hmm. be too costly, and I don't, you know, want to reap the consequences of that sin. So that's one level. A second level is the person who lives by the golden rule. He wants peace at any price, and he cannot understand anyone who is so radical that he would try to change the status quo of his life or anyone else's. So she goes on to say that this person can be full of the sins of selfishness and self-righteousness without being aware of it. And this is a description that she gives. She said he may go to church regularly every Sunday, and he gives his tithes and pay his bills. He grows 6 cabbages and gives 1 over the fence to his neighbor. He often does good deeds. If you came up to him and said, "Do you fear the Lord?" he would be most indignant that you would even ask such a question of him. Of course, he would reply. In fact, the "of course" would mean, how could you have been so unobservant? How insensitive to the obvious. If you asked him, "How long has it been since you spent more than an hour prevailing in prayer for the lost souls of men? What is the depth of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ for the lost souls of men to be reached by your witnessing to them on a personal basis? And what is your prayer life in relation to the millions of Muslims, Hindus, Shintos, Buddhists, communists, atheists, humanists, and nothingness who have no knowledge of God's plan of salvation or assurance of eternal life? What concern have you for the unreached millions of the world?" In all honesty, he would have to answer, "Very little or none at all." There's no fear of the Lord manifest in these sins of selfishness, prayerlessness, self-centeredness, complacency, and self-righteousness. There's no acknowledgement, let alone any hatred of these sins in the person who lives on this level.
Hmm. Wow.
Deep level two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Level two.
Wow.
So kind of a self-righteousness thing, you know, do to others, do to selves, kind of check them balances, you know, making sure I'm doing all the right stuff. But that's why they don't sin. They you know, that's the reason why, that's their attitude towards sin.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep it, you know, trying to keep it balanced here.
Right.
The third level, or level three rather, is the sincere Christian who earnestly desires to please the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not want to sin and is deeply concerned with the besetting sins that are in his or her life. He wishes he could find an answer as to why he is always having to confess over and over again the same sins. Perhaps he commits the sins of criticism and of judging others, the sins of pride, always drawing attention to himself in conversation, the sins of unbelief and being unable to trust God, as manifest in fear, doubt, and disobedience. Or maybe it's the sins of lust or covetousness or jealousy or resentment to God or man. He is deeply concerned and longs for freedom. We're talking about Joy Dawson's book, Intimate Friendship with the Lord, Through the Understanding of the Fear of the Lord, and she speaks about the different levels in our attitude towards sin. And she says that basically people fall into these kind of four levels of attitudes about sin. The first part, or first level, is the person that doesn't sin because they don't want to get, the consequences of sinning are too great. The other person kind of lives by the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
The third level is the Christian who sincerely desires to please the Lord Jesus Christ, but does not want to sin, but they keep falling to these besetting sins in their life. They just keep going down, no matter how much they're trying. And she goes on to say how important it is to have the right perspective in regards to sin, and how important it is to understand that, you know, sin is not our friend. You know what I mean? It your attitude towards sin is going to determine if you allow it in your life, you know, and you don't want to be sin-centered, right? Because, you know, that's focusing on the law. Mm-hmm. Not everything is about, you know, you're focusing on sin, but you do need to understand that. What is your perspective in terms of sin? You know, there's some people that teach that there is no sin. Well, hello, that's faulty. That's not biblical. That's not God, you know? And the truth is that when you're tempted, God does provide you a way of escape, right?
Right.
Well, this is the fourth level. The fourth level in terms of sin, attitude towards sin, is the person who has the fear of God upon him. He hates sin. Therefore, he seldom sins. If he does, there is a quick awareness of sin, immediate repentance, and a willingness to humble himself before others if directed by the Holy Spirit to do so. Now, that's good. Think about it. Of all the reasons not to sin, I think a great majority of the people fall into the first level, where the first and third level, the first one is not sinning because they don't want to suffer the consequences of the sin. Mm. So like, well, that's great. It's like, the reason why I don't murder people is I don't want to go to jail. How about because it's wrong?
Right.
Or the reason why you don't do lies because I don't want to get caught or be embarrassed. It's like, really? Is that why you don't sin? Mm-hmm. Is that why you don't do certain things? Because you would be embarrassed if you were caught? That's not the real reason why we shouldn't sin, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or the third level, where the believer has a sincere desire to stop sinning, but they don't want to sin, but they keep having these besetting sins. They keep doing the things that they don't want to do, and they just stay feeling sorry about it, but nothing changes in their life, right? She alludes to the fact that they keep, you know, just talking about the sin and magnifying the sin and crying about the sin, but they don't get the sin out. Like, I'm just tired that I keep lying. Well, you gonna stop?
Yeah, right.
You know? But the fourth level, and this is about an attitude that you can embrace in regards to sin, is the person who has the fear of God upon him, and that he hates sin. You can have a holy hatred sin. You can hate the things that God hates. He hates sin. Therefore, he seldom sins. If he does, there is a quick awareness of sin, and there's an immediate repentance and a willingness to humble himself before others if directed by the Holy Spirit to do so. I mean, you're either going to be sinning against God or you're going to be sinning against man. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the vertical and the horizontal going here.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you sin before God, obviously you want to, as the Holy Spirit makes that aware, you know, aware to you, you want to be able to ask God to forgive you. You want to repent and turn away from it, right? But also that if you sin towards somebody else, that it's okay to humble yourself and to acknowledge it and to say, I was
wrong.
I was wrong, and that was sin. And move on from there.
Yeah.
Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. It's by the fear of the Lord. We never choose to do the thing we hate unless we know it is something that is good for us. Listen to that. We never choose to do the thing we hate unless we know it is something that is good for us, or unless we are forced to do so by an authority over us. Right? Think it through. We have sinned because we have chosen to sin because we love sin. The only way to be free from sin is to have God's attitude toward it, which through the fear of the Lord is to hate it. Hate sin in the mind, hate sin in the word, and hate sin in the deed. We will hate sin in the word and deed when we hate sin in the mind, because that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth of what she's saying here is that, listen, you're not, you know, you love the sin. Just get honest with you. You're sinning because you love it. You're sinning because you enjoy it. You know what I mean? You don't hate it. You've become friends with it. Mm-hmm. It's become normal to you. It's become okay. And so you've warmed up to it, and you've made excuses for it, but you haven't called it for what it is. It's sin. It's evil. And it'll separate you from God. And so the only way, you know, I was praying to God one day and just, you know, there's so much evil in the land. I mean, everywhere you go, you see all of this evil. You see, it's everywhere. I mean, it's just literally everywhere. You go to the mall, you go to the store, you go to the local grocery store, you drive down the road. I mean, everywhere you go, you see all this evil that's just out there. And today, with all the technology, there's so many people that have access to good, but let me tell you, they have a lot of access to evil, a lot of access to bad stuff. And so I'm praying and say, Lord, you know, what do you, you know, how's your church going to stay in the right place with you? How's your church going to, you can put all these safety nets and you can put all these things around to help people to you know, not fall into sin and not fall into bondage. And you set up all this accountability and it's like, there's got to be more to that.
Mm-hmm.
And clear as day, God said it's going to be the healthy fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing, because you know what? You can help your children. You can put safeguards for them. And you can put all this type of stuff for them. But they're not going to be with you all the time. They should not be sinning, because they're going to, at some point, it's not about disobeying the parent and I don't want to get caught. At some point, there needs to be a realization, a revelation that God's eyes are with me, whether my parents are with me or not.
Right.
And that's the same for the parent. You know, God's eyes are with me, whether the pastor is visiting us or he isn't visiting us. You know what I'm saying? Whether he's pulling up into the driveway, he isn't pulling up to the driveway. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the parents. It's about you and God. It's about your relationship with the Lord and you having a sensitivity in your spirit and knowing, I don't need to go there. You know, because and people not getting confused with temptation and sin. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned, right?
Right.
But in the face of temptation, you can turn from it and look for the way that the Lord has provided the escape so that you can stand. But it all starts with doing a heart check and to find out, what are those areas that you've winked at in your life? What are those areas that you have become comfortable with? What are those areas that you have not even considered to be sin, but they would be sin in the eyes of God? When you begin to hate sin the way God hates sin, when you begin to fear God and say, I'm not going to sin for no other reason but because I fear the Lord and I'm going to hate what he hates, things will begin to change in your life and in your walk with God, and there'll be such a freshness in your spirit. And all that guilt and condemnation will go away because you're living free. You're living free to live, to love God, to worship Him, and not to be bound by sin, Satan, and all hell. Let me encourage you. Have a healthy fear of the Lord today. Live for God and have a holy hatred towards sin, and watch your relationship just blossom and grow because God dealt with sin already on the cross. It was so healthy because we realized that our main attitude, our main motive to avoid sin shouldn't be, you know, facing, I'm not going to sin because of the consequences that you know, are going to come out of this, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, your sin will find you out. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not because of the consequences. But a healthier view of not sinning, or the reason why you don't sin, is because you fear the Lord. You have a holy hatred towards the thing that God hates. And, you know, there's a lot of people that want different, you know, I don't know why, but titles and places and all this type of stuff. And listen, the greatest thing that somebody could call you, the greatest place that you can be positionally in God is His friend. You know what I mean? Friend of God. You want to be in the fog, right? You want to be a friend of God. But friendship with God, right, requires that you fear Him. You know, that's what Psalms 25:14 says. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And that there is a place that you can walk with God. There's a place of intimacy with Him when you begin to honor Him and draw close to Him. But you can't draw close to Him with your stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can't draw close to Him with your sin and all that. It just doesn't work, right? I mean, you can draw close, and you know what I'm saying? he will, you know, He has His ways, and he can get to you, you know, but you want to draw close to Him out of a pure heart. And we can do that, by the way, when we abide. You know, you abide. It's amazing when you spend time with the Lord. You may have not realized that you've had maybe a different attitude towards sin, or you may not even realize that something was in your heart. But when you spend time with God daily and you spend time in His Word and you're listening to His voice, He'll begin to show you. You know that situation that happened? You know that what you said or what was stored up in your heart? You need to deal with that. You need to get that out. And that's what having a relationship with the Lord is all about. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will direct us. And He will correct us. And correction is a really beautiful thing because, my goodness, if we didn't, you know, aren't you glad if you're going the wrong way and headed to a dead end that someone would say, turn around, you know?
Right.
And so God lovingly does that for us and tells us, listen, you need to turn around. You need to repent. You need to get this out your life so that you can enjoy this intimacy with Me. And so that this sin doesn't snuff you out. My goodness, we need a healthy fear of the Lord. And this is a good way to begin to that journey and have a firm foundation in it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.